December 7, 2020. It's the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, happy Monday. Is it the second one? Maybe not. Who can you? Who knows about time now? We start off with Little Melanie from John Coltrane and Miles Davis, and then Go to Man from Life in a Blender. Quentin Quarantino Motes, Brother Matt still at the Love Grotto a couple miles south here. But I'm not totally man alone because of those Skype engineers in Estonia with their incredible peer-to-peer invention. I got Don Ralph with me from Life in a Blender. Life is a blender.
Life is a blender, too, yeah.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard, Don. Well, I want to go through your fucking, I know there was another cat with you with this, but your personal journey through music. So if you can, remember, it's a Watt from Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers. But what's your earliest musical recollection, Don?
Well, I tell the story of that music came to me, you know, almost from the gods because I grew up in Poughkeepsie and I grew up near this dump and me and my buddies would walk through the dump to the drugstore to get comics and candy and all that stuff. And one day walking through the dump, I was behind my two friends and I stepped on this box. It felt like a box underneath my feet as we crossed through the dump. I'm like, what? What's that? That feels weird under my feet. And I look down and I dig through the trash a little bit and I pull up the box and it's actually a guitar case. And there was this great 12-string guitar in this case in the dump. My friends are like, how did you find that? Why did you find that? We should have that guitar. But I found the guitar and that sort of just got me interested right there from, say, junior high that I found a guitar in a dump.
So it was.
I've kept that dump like energy in our music ever since.
It was a donate.
But it was a donate. It was a 12-string with a kind of a warped neck. But and then I used it for a bit and then said, okay, I'll trade it in.
But there in Po-Town,
Poughkeepsie, yeah.
When you were a boy before this dumpster journey, was there anything in the pad you grew up? Was there any instruments?
Oh, we had a piano. We had a player piano that you would pump with your feet and put in the spools. And my dad had all the old Alexander's ragtime band, and he had turn on the spools. So I feel like that was the one instrument we had in the house.
But
humans
didn't play it. It was scrolls.
Humans, we tried to play it, but it was fun to grab onto the bottom of that piano and start pumping. Like it was like an exercise machine, but okay. The player piano.
So your parents and your family, they were more listeners than players.
Yeah. My dad, he played by ear though. He was pretty good at picking out songs and could get it, do a pretty decent job, but they didn't really read music.
You're talking about he would work that player piano with his own fingers.
Yeah, he would.
Okay, but you were not
but
like...
I would start to pluck out stuff, yeah, slowly.
But what I'm trying to ask you was, you were not coerced into taking lessons.
No. I more, developed it on my own, started playing just like my dad, picking things out by ear and learning on my own.
Let me ask you this. At school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I didn't do any of that, but I knew all those guys and was friends with those people. And so when I started writing music, I felt like I knew a good group of people who helped me out. That's always been the case. That's the case now.
Okay. What about first record you bought yourself with your own money?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I always think my first records were my sister's hand-me-down records. So I think, the ones I liked that I poached from her collection.
No. I'm asking you ones you bought with your own money, because when you're a kid, you ain't got much money. So the ones you spend money on, kind of special, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. Because, I don't know. I feel like I was always I feel like I got early Tom Waits stuff, more singer-songwriter stuff for me early on.
But you can't remember the first record you bought, so it didn't make a big impression on you. What about the first
kid? I can't remember because I was so much – what makes an impression on me is my sister's records. I got Killer Queen.
Yeah, but, that's donate shit. That's like you finding that 12-string. This is something you put your own money on. It's not important, It's just something.
Yeah.
What about – because some people, I really saved up money to get that, and then a year later they don't like it. Okay, see, this is the way human beings are. Don't worry. Remember, it's Watt for Pedro show. No wrong answers.
Right.
Okay. What about first gig you went and saw, Don?
Oh, first gig, yeah, at the Mid Hudson Civic Center, Blue Oyster Cult.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
Me and Deep Boone were way into that band.
Mind blowing, ear blowing experience.
Okay.
With laser lights, the full show. I mean, that was just totally. Just blew me away back then. And they kept coming back. I went to see them several times.
Well, they weren't that far. They're New Yorkers, right? I think from Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island, right?
Right. And they went to school at SUNY Stony Brook.
Is that right? I don't know.
I wouldn't shit you, Don. That's why you're on the show, to learn incredible factoids like that.
I knew I'd learn some things.
Yeah. But anyway, so that 12-string guitar, since you didn't do the school thing, but you had some buddies. So did you do the thing like the garage band, the bedroom band, the basement band?
Yeah, basically meeting in, friends' garage and basement and working on stuff. I mean, I would be coming up with sort of ideas for songs. We're in Poughkeepsie. I wrote this song. The first song really I wrote was the song Poughkeepsie City of Sin, and that with my friend Dave Moody, who's still in the band today, my friend from junior high. And
that's the
guy
I was together. Talking about. That was the guy I was talking about.
Yeah. So we got together and wrote that early on, and then that became became a little sensation in Poughkeepsie. And that sort of got us hooked, and we just kept going.
So you didn't waste time copying songs off records. That's great to know. You started writing songs right off the bat.
Yeah. We never did. We did some covers, but really that was the root end, was to write our own stuff.
No, that's fucking happening. Here in Pedro in the 70s, it wasn't like that, man. The best guy in town was the guy who could play Black Dog the best. That was it. look.
Right.
This band that you and Doug had, did it have a name?
Yeah, it was Batteries Not Included at the time.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Pizza. Do I like it now? No. I mean, do I like Life in a Blender? Totally. Oh, no, maybe not.
Yeah, I like both names. They're better than, like, Wedding Tool or Turd Purse.
Turd Purse is a tough one.
Dick Crane in the Blue Veins. Okay. Now, did you and Doug, did Battery Not Included, what was the first gig? Did you guys do any gigs, or was it just a practice band?
No, we, the first real show, there was a gong show. Now, this is back in the 70s. There was a local gong show, and we wrote that song thinking, like, maybe we can get in the gong show, have this funny song about Poughkeepsie. That's, you know, Poughkeepsie City of Sin, Poughkeepsie was far from sin, and that was the whole joke. And, you know, that was a pretty, we want to say, punkish kind of song.
Let me stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
You're talking the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking French Connection days.
Yeah.
Do you pick your finger and Pete Poughkeepsie? There's some sin going on there, Don. Foot picking.
I like that. I like, you know, the French connection with Poughkeepsie.
Well, that's the code word, right? You got the shit.
If you know Pick Your Feet in Poughkeepsie, then you know.
Yeah, that's right. Now, tell me about this first gig, this gong show, Poughkeepsie gong show.
So we were 16, got in the club. You know, it was a big event in our eyes in Poughkeepsie. And we entered and lied about our age and got in and played the song. And we tied for the first prize with these three women who were doing Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. I remember that was big. Like, there was a cover of that was big at the time again.
Well, yeah, because it was big in the 40s.
Big in the 40s, and then somebody redid it, and it came out again in the 70s. And, you know, it was big. Anyway, we tied, and they brought out this applause meter at the Chance in Poughkeepsie, this great club in Poughkeepsie. And, it probably was a fake applause meter, but, you know, they said, who do you want? Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy or Poughkeepsie City of Sin, and we won the prize.
Oh, you beat him. Good. They did the copy song.
Yeah, we won $101.
Anyway. Look, I want to play here. Hoot Owl.
You can see my house from here. It's around the curve. You can park it round and back in the spot reserve. The neighbors are all dreaming. I'm the only one that's next. Let me find my house. Keep bear with me a little bit. So, Hoot Owl. Garbage in, garbage out, all
This Thursday, several NGOs wrote a letter to President François Hollande to protest.
What the?
Gore-Tex in my north faces. A Eurostep to four places. Symbolize the meaning of oasis. Shiny watches and braces. Bitches with butt injections to facelift. I'm going ape shit. My history's in the pavement. Fountains full of coins. Shaboin. Vivid like Mr. Goins. My groin. Women caress me when I'm horny. Inserted in the gushy pussy. But dizzy. The squishy. Cut used to whip me. Quick jabs in the left hooky. Slap boxing in our hoodies was goody. Wipe the slate clean. McQueen. I ate for some shrooms. From the tunes in the back pocket of my jeans. Me and Napa raps so sick. Presents tailor made. Two caps and Dragon Ball. Wish the level 4 Super Saiyans. Super fly, super papers. Out in the suits and gators. Sports came into all the super. Land cruiser star spaceship. Young Heaney laughing like Miles Davis. Young Heaney, let's just get this gravy.
Been had my hands from since a baby. Making shit shake like a rattle. Niggas dead to the beef, less is Kobayashi cattle. Can you smell it? Lay that rock cooking the bird and bushes ducking. Since you out getting international bookings, baby. My got some other dope hit. American made opiate wars in the VA. Pre-jack projects may lead to regress, but probably raising up youth gon' be the reset. They try to test me from every angle. I change dimensions like a tetrahedron, a pimp staple. Like knowledge he had, but never thought he needed the reason, the archetype, a ton of able. Bear fruit, the hamster wheel, loop without a ladle. Eating pros, try to steal the truth, be cautious of these labels. Logic constantly weighing against my loaf. But for the bread, we cannot afford the loaf. No. So. One for the road, three more for the days. Four for life, familiar with choices made.
Dinosaurs, 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 dinosaurs,
trunk of a Ford. A man with a sunburn said it would help his dream. Seatbelts digging in where my back exposed. This is a favor I wish I didn't owe. But Christmas, that's no way to start out in Ohio. A mission distance in terms of rest stops. How many times will I be pumping gas? A May 4 seems so long ago. A May 4 seems like it's barely passed. The band revolver on the radio. I cannot sleep, so I try and smoke. Cannot put the pieces together again. I'll take the back roads with blueprints wet. I'll take the back roads and not forget. Let the cameras roll, the law of the head. For every tear that falls, another one is dead. And it's all cracked up, and it comes from above. Four faces in the memory.
For Pedro Show. Yeah. Hoot out. From Life in a Blender. Then Bowman's Prendon. Highway Soufflé. Kind of rhymes. 38 Tigers after that. They Are Gone. A little punk rock. No, not punk rock. Pun rock. A little pun rock there. Water and Piano and Birds from His Name is Alive. Ghetto Swahili. Nappy Nap. Featuring Raheem Supreme. Great solo record on Nappy Napa in D.C. He's one half of Model Home. Great, great record, people. Johnny Mark and the Ricks with Dinosaurs. This features the late, great Frankie Onwe from Suburban Lawns, which before we were Minutemen, we were called Reactionaries. We got to play with them. They had the old practice pad of the Carpenters in Long Beach, and we got to play with them. Life in a Blender, finally, with Kent. It might be an area of England. It's also a town in Ohio, right?
Yeah, that's what we were.
Yeah, D-Boone bought a Telecaster. That black Telecaster D-Boone's was bought there. There was a club either there or Akron. Mother something. God, my memory. Your memory's much better there, Don. Okay. So this was just a duet, this band? Do you guys get more people in the band?
Oh, yeah, we started, the two of us, writing and then brought in just whoever we knew in high school. And then we went off to college and sort of split up and then came back after college. And then in the 80s, Life in a Blender starts up and we just start to bring on whoever we meet along the way. But it was always me and my friend from junior high in Poughkeepsie that kept it going.
But the when you get back, it's New Jersey, right?
Yeah, because the rent was so cheap. We had a great place in Jersey City. Yeah, 80 Waldo Avenue.
So you're telling me that the rents are really high in Po-Town?
I mean, we moved to Manhattan then. We had left.
Okay.
We had moved down by that point to New York, yeah.
Right. So they are cheaper, yeah.
And then we moved over to Jersey City, yeah.
Right.
We had a great place. You know, we used to pay $250. There was the drummer, the bass player, Dave, and me, three bedrooms for $250 each. So back then that was great. And the basement was thrown in for free, so we rehearsed in the basement in Jersey City.
A real basement band.
Yeah, it was good.
Jersey City's got WFMU.
Yeah.
They were doing gigs there. They did the lower room, so it's a stage now and stuff. When we get this COVID-19 vaccined out, maybe gigs there again. But great station. People, you can reach there on the internet. You don't have to live in Jersey City. You could get this in Sarajevo or Mostar if you got internet connect. So check that out. Brian Turner was there a long time, a music director. Great cat. But we're talking the old days, like Maxwell days, right?
Right. Maxwell's, CBGB's. I feel like we really played CBGB's a ton to just get to where we got to. And then for us, there's this bar, McGovern's, that was on Spring Street. That was really our home base bar. But then CB's too. I always think CB's was
just a great. We didn't have to cross the river with Maxwell's, because a couple episodes ago I had a who did I have on the Bar None cat,
Glenn Morrow.
Yeah, and they, you know, him and Ira and all that, getting that going. And I, in fact, Minutemen first played Maxwell's when I was still booking it and was sound man. So
yeah, I thought there was some friends talking about some mythic show with the Minutemen on some winter's night where they come from Manhattan and trudging through the snow. Could that be?
Well, we did, you know, we toured all the time. And I remember the gig, one of the gigs at Maxwell's was with a kind of a Sonic Youth band called Rat at Rat R.
Oh, yeah. And, I remember that name.
And, yeah, well, the guitar man ended up the fucking conductor for Glenn Branca's Hallucinant City, number 13. That I got to do, be part of 2006 or something. You know, it had 64 guitars, 20 basses, and one drummer, Virgil Morgan. Yeah. But that was a trip seeing him, because you know how it is when there's a lot of years in between. So when do you become Life as a Blender? By this time in New Jersey, your life is a blender?
Yeah, probably around, you know, 86 we're starting, and then put out a first vinyl LP in 88.
And where'd you record that?
Record?
Yeah, in order to put out an EP, you probably had to record something, right?
Yeah. Some of the early places, the very early places, I don't quite remember totally, but
you're as bad as me.
Guitarist, Dubway Studios, we recorded, you know, pretty much early stuff. And he became the guitarist, the guy who owns Dubway. He had the place up at the music building near the Port Authority. You know, he started with an 8-track studio, and he built it up from there. But that's, you know, pretty much our early stuff started with him, and we just became friends, and then he joined as our guitarist.
Port Authority, I remember, because if you flew into Newark, you would take, in fact, over to the World Trade Center, right, is where the Port Authority would come out. I remember. There's some buses you had to ride on, too. It was kind of convoluted. But so the studio man, what, he was impressed with the tunes you brought in?
Yeah, I think, you know, he was just, we just kept coming back and paying him to record, and he was getting hooked on them and saying, you know, he was enjoying it. So then he joined in. So he's been in the band for decades now. Yeah. Just from us recording with him led to him joining us as a guitarist.
Well, I want people to hear that. So don't be abusive to your studio people because they might end up in the fucking band.
Right.
Now, what about touring?
Touring, we did some and then got lazy and, you know, pretty much now just play New York. But, you know, we went into Canada and Chicago and
what about here?
Show in Berlin. And
what about West Coast?
West Coast, you know, we never made it all the way to the West Coast. We made it as far as Michigan. Never got out to California.
Now, why?
I played some shows out here, but,
now, you know. Why? Why, Don?
Why? I don't know.
Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough.
Went all the way.
Because, you know, usually when you do a tour, well, maybe it's because we're here in the West and there ain't much. You know, you do an I-5 tour. You have to get across the Rockies, right? You got to make that big jump. So what you end up doing is making a big loop. And the big turnaround place is Manhattan. Not Manhattan, Kansas, but the other one.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, we just always kept going to New York and just liked it, just sort of stayed put, you know. Probably not the smartest move, but, you know, that's what we did.
Well, I ain't asking if you're smart or not. I'm just wondering about touring, because touring is a fucking education in itself, because you really get to learn the country, you know, when you're driving around in your van and, you know, caulking at places, going through things. And so I was just wondering. But you did do Northeast stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. We went as far out to
And you say
Chicago,
Michigan, so you did
Michigan,
a little.
Michigan, and then, you know, into Kentucky, I know we played. So we did some sweeping through, and up into Canada.
So you almost, made it.
Airplay and et cetera.
You almost made it to the, what's it called, Central Time Zone.
Almost. I think we did. I think Chicago.
I think the line, yeah, because the line's at Grand Rapids.
In Pittsburgh.
No, no. Pittsburgh's still in the east.
Still east?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The Ohio people don't like being called Midwest. They think they're, and they are kind of eastern, I guess. I guess it depends on what era. So you mean before you would tour, you would check out your airplay?
I mean, that's how we had, I forget who was booking us. We had some guy booking us, and we would go where we had some support with radio, college radio. And that's where it was. So
I know there was college radio and stuff like that, but I never heard of anybody booking a tour around that shit. Interesting. Interesting. Because for us, the idea of putting out records, they were like flyers for the tours. It was opposite of the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's how we did it, and, you know.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, that's why I have guests on. Right. I know there's more than one than the Minutemen Black Flag way of doing things, you know. And I've learned it 19 and a half years now. I've been doing the show, and I've found there's a whole bunch of different ways to do it. And you can't remember your booker, man, huh?
I can't. I mean, for a while, we had a really good one for a minute for a few shows. It was just New York. Like Venture Booking was doing a couple. But then that dissolved, and then it was somebody, I can't remember his name.
Now me, I've had the same booker man for 32 years now, 33 years. Yeah.
But you're right, touring is a learning adventure or whatever. Just, you know, stay.
Right. If you find somebody good, you keep them, right?
Like stepping over your head in the middle of the night, and, you know, you did everything you did just to get to the show.
Like, but even the shows, if it's a shitty promoter, you work for them once, right? You don't go back to the asshole. Find somebody else. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, December 7, 2020, Dish and Walk Pedro Show. Special guest, Don Ralph. Hold tight for hour two.
Remember coming up to Seattle and doing a punk rock karaoke?
Yeah, but we're on the air. Let's talk about this, okay? People already hear enough about Watt. It's about you. People, December 7, 2020, Dish and Walk Pedro Show. Second hour.
On a foggy night, when the city carries sounds of wheels on tracks and my cleaning hose, you will rise from bed and see me down, sleep interrupted by the bedroom window below. I'll be standing at the top of the stairs. You'll look out with your disapproving frown, but inside my head I'll be wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. Stairs, running hoses down steps, sending suds to mysterious holes. A schedule break will offer a glimpse of the moon up on street level, where my truck reveals my name, my occupation. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. Go party on in your in-style cowboy hat. Go smoke some dope at the thing for the new website. Go make love to your bare bottoms. Behavior such as this is not part of my song. Cleanliness can be enjoyed. Within 24 hours, my work is destroyed. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. I am a member of the mobile wash unit. Touch the light between. Let's step outside the shade. Touch the light between. Let's step outside.
till the gates are pleasured. Until the inside's measured. Or touch the line between. Let's step outside the shape.
paper of conditions. Attend.
Watch for Pedro Show. Mobile Wash Unit started off the second hour. Life of the Blader. And here's Don. He's going to enlighten you. Give it to him.
Tell you all about it. Well, let's see. Well, in New York, there's always these guys in the Mobile Wash Unit truck who would go around and clean the subways. And late hours, late into the night, they're out there with their hoses and cleaning down. And I just thought these guys are the heroes of keeping the subway clean, because that's a tough job when you have to clean the subway. So,
oh, yeah.
I just felt like I'm telling their sort of lonely tale, but also, you know, let's give them some love.
Yeah, because
the cleaners of the subway.
I think part of it is people are like, I can dirty this shit up because somebody's going to get paid to clean it. It's such a weird fucking logic. I've seen fucking sacks of McDonald crap flying out on the freeway. Like, somebody's going to get that.
I guess that's the attitude.
Yeah, well, we got
they clean up all that gum. That gum that becomes those, like, black, you know, little tar pits of gum on
the
subway.
The
they get rid of all that somehow.
Yeah, you're right. Unsung heroes. Sam Bennett, after that, call the name across. That's strange. Okay. Carl M. V. Val. No. Carl M. V. Wow. W-A-U-G-H, from Brighton, England, with Mechanical Truth. 1, 2, 3. No, The Taking of Punk Tusk, 1, 2, 3, by Chicago's Goodfuck. Plutonium Farmers, Vows of Heck. And Not Your Problem, from Life of the Blender. Not Your Problem. That's sort of like what people are thinking about the Mobile Wash Unit. It's not my problem.
And that Not Your Problem song has a big, you know, you can't hide from the family sort of chorus going on.
Yeah.
And I always feel that. I feel like you can't hide from your family. That's a big lyric in that song, We're Not Your Problem.
And you know another
you
thing
can't
about
hide
the family.
From the family.
Another thing about the family, you don't pick them. They're like kind of gifted to you.
Yeah, they always keep coming back. You always sort of have to report in to the family.
Right, right. Whereas with friends, you get to pick them. You don't get to pick fucking family. What's that
yeah.
about? Okay, you're on guitar. Your studio man was on guitar. Your buddy, Doug, right?
Dave. He started on bass and then switched over to Dave Moody, started on bass and then switched to cello and rhythm guitar for various reasons. He dropped out at one point, came back in. And so it's just the way the band evolved along the way.
Yeah, but Don, what was it like with cello?
Cello's great.
I've never been in a band with a cello, so I'm asking you, what was it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love the orchestration. We do a lot of, you know, I feel like we have the rock bass, and then we add on some orchestration here and there that I think just helps, doesn't overwhelm it. So, you know, we have Dave switching to cello sometimes, and then Rebecca Weiner came in on violin, so she plays on a lot, and they had the string section going.
Yeah, because the cello can go down to the bass world. In fact, it's got incredible... The only weird thing about cello is the way you got to play it, like between your legs and shit. Were you guys... were you into Electric Light Orchestra?
I mean, in fact, well, God, no, I'm not going to... We did do a cover of one of their songs, too, but It's a Living Thing. We did a cover of It's a Living Thing.
Well, not that one so much, but they did a cover of Chuck Berry's Roll Over Beethoven.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That's the only song I liked by them, but that was good. And I think they had two cello players. And one guy had, like, a sock over his head or some shit. But
I can relate to that.
I mean, there's something about strings and stuff like that.
I guess you could say, like, the strings might take away the rock energy, but I always felt like we made it so it complemented it.
Yeah, I don't know. Music is music to me. I don't give a fuck about some kind of purity test. You know, it all comes out, it's notes and rhythms, right, hitting the ears and body at the end of the day. But I'm curious, did they arrange your own parts, or did you get into shit like that?
No, everyone pretty much comes in and arranges their own parts. Although I'll say Mark Lerner, the bass player, he's got an ear for it, and then he'll often come in with ideas. You know, cello, why don't you try this? And Mark's great with we brought in horns too eventually, as you hear on this new stuff.
Yeah, right.
He arranges a lot of those horns.
Who are the horn guys?
the horns, I mean, and we don't use them all the time.
Yeah, but who are they on the record? On this record?
Jackie Coleman, great trumpet player. Drew Krasner on the alto sax. And Kevin Moehringer on trombone.
The bone, that's some bass cliff. I want to hear a Rocket to Love You.
Made when I drop my load on the beat. Wir sind was für ein Laden hier. Ist ein bisschen ruhig. Habt ihr keinen Klavierspieler?
Wir wenig. Dann fällt das Geschäft nicht.
Meinetwegen. Singen wir halt ohne Klavier. Singen wir sonst meistens ohne Klavier.
blind instructions you must follow to usher so them long for if you should meet someone in a suitcase in a field say all the children will get scared everything will go wrong.
Show Rocket to Love You, Life in a Blender, and then from Poland, Troopa Troopa with Invisible Door, Huma from their new album, Ubicuo.
How do you say it?
Well, it's spelled Ubicuo, so you know, is it Italiano spelling or what? Ubicuo, Ubicuo, whatever. Good music. I like it. Berlin Alexanderplatz. Now I can do that one, right? That's where the Brandenburg Gate is. Alessandro Navaga. She's going to be on the show a couple months. She's from Italy. Del Sogno di Marinaio colleague. Stefano Pelia. Gaslight Fairgrounds from History. And finally, Soul Deliverer. Deliverer.
I know, the two Deliverer.
Well, you know about Asia, from Life is a Blender. You know, Asia ears can't hear the R's and L's so much, right? So if you really want to get them on a word, delivery. Why?
Deliverer.
Yeah, but this deliverer is hard for English. But if you want to get an Asian, and they got words too that's hard for us. Look, I couldn't even fucking say that ubi. Cool word. I fuck up all kinds of shit. My own name. So, tell me about this record, Don. Where did you record it at? I mean, it's recent enough where you can remember, right?
Yeah. I mean, we recorded all the basic tracks at Dubway, the guitar player, Al Houghton's place, you know, in Manhattan, which is, he has, now his studio's downtown. He's moved from the 8-track music building, Port Authority studio to the big full, you know, many zillion track studio down in the Wall Street area there somewhere. And, yeah, we recorded there before the whole lockdown. So we got basic tracks and then did a lot of overdubbing over, you know, when March hit and everything shut down, we really focused on the overdubs. Give us a chance to obsessively brood over each song.
Well, you guys don't live in the same town, right? Did you have
to fly? Yeah, we're all over. I mean, yeah. I am in Seattle a lot, but then keep coming back to New York. And then, you know, some are upstate, and some are still right in Manhattan.
No, what I'm wondering about is the process of getting the tunes together. Do you make demos for people?
You know, somewhat, but I come back to New York and really spend a lot of time there with them, and we just all get together. That's mostly how they come together. We all get in the room together and just spend long periods together.
You mean with no ideas? You just brainstorm it there, or do you bring in some ideas?
I mean, I pretty much just bring in the rudimentary, you know, here's the basic song, and then they put their musical hats on and really get it together.
And what do you mainly compose on?
Mostly guitar, although I play on some piano.
I'm curious about this because, you know, for a lot of years I've been using the bass for a composition tool, and I'm wondering, when you deliver the tune to these guys, you leave enough holes so that they can collaborate. I mean, we're talking strings and horns and...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I leave plenty of holes.
Right. And what about the word? Do you collaborate with the words?
No, yeah, I have the word, all the lyrics, and come in, here's the song, and yeah, I've just been lucky they support my, you know, vision, I guess, overall, you know, I've said, like, here's the song, so, starts with my friend Dave, you know, here, it's me and him, and then just been lucky that these guys say, okay, we'll call him Doug and figure out how to make him sound good.
I called him Doug, I'm sorry, his name's Dave.
Oh, no
problem. Sorry, Dave. That's my middle fucking name, too. What an asshole. Sorry. But... Okay, so you and Dave get them together, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I really write them, basically, and then Dave's always been there, you know, supporting me along the way.
Now, so the words are really early on, then.
Yeah.
Because some guys like to add on
the song, like pretty much, here's the basic song, and then they'll come in and layer everything on top and say, you know, Charles sounds like this, etc.
I've had a lot of guys on the show, they tell me the words come way last. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do this. That's why I'm curious and I ask about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like I come from the singer-songwriter.
No, it's all right. It's all right. You know, there ain't no wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, I like what I'm hearing. We're at the end of the second hour, December 7th, 2020 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Don Ralph. Hold on for hour three. November 7th, 2020 is the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Tongue-cut sparrow in the nest don't sing. Tongue-cut sparrow in the nest don't sing. Too young, too pretty. Too young, too pretty to sing much of anything. Of anything. Tongue-cut sparrow, you should know your place. Time's up, tough, and there's no time to waste. Shimmies cross the stage. Grandma gives a smile and wonders how she's got such pretty legs. Tongue-cut sparrow.
tongue-cut sparrow. Mm-hmm. why does this say here, this thing here?
Oh, that's the usual clause. That's in every contract. That just says there, if any of the parties participating in this contract are shown not to be in their right mind, the entire agreement is automatically nullified.
Well, I don't know.
It's all right. That's in every contract. That's what they call a sanity clause.
There ain't no sanity clause.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Chuck a double coffee, he's no Valentine. He's no go-to man, he's no friend of mine. He took a pack of stuff, sit on the Greyhound bus. He never tried to text me, not the one to trust. I swear the drift in here will be the death of me. Jeremiah told me that it beats the bus. He pockets all your money, he's not the one to trust. I say, oh, 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 oh yeah, oh, 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 okay. All right. But I'm no angel, but wings ain't made for flying. They're way down by gross appetites. That's why you're not I'm buying. That love is both till they get me like my memory. Double fries and the secret sauce. Meet me in the city at the Lions bus. Don't wait around for cups, you're not the one to trust.
Okay. Alright. Okay.
Oh, what's that to seek? Oh, what's that to take? I'll take what's real, I'll take what's fake. As long as it has got the taste of a good time and a bed sheet.
Pedro Show, started the third hour off with Tongue Cut Sparrow, Life in a Blender. Don's going to, like, enlighten you to the meaning behind this.
I will tell all. Well, that song, that a lot of the songs, and that one too, it comes from this project, the Bushwick Book Club, and Susan Wong started that in Brooklyn, and it brings together all different artists and musicians to write songs about a literary work. So that one, Tongue Cut Sparrow, was this woman, I'm going to forget her name right now. Sundoval, what was her name? Mitsu Sundoval, she was Japanese and Swedish, but she wrote this story about her niece who was a stripper, and she felt like her whole burlesque show that the niece did empowered her, and she wrote a short story called Tongue Cut Sparrow. So we wrote that about her, and the whole vibe of the song is kind of burlesque-y, I think. It has that burlesque, va-va-va-boom attitude.
Did you ever play the Trocadero in Philadelphia?
No. We did play Philadelphia once with a Dead Milkmen offshoot, but where did we play? I don't think we played the Trocadero.
Well, I bring that up because that was a burlesque house. And you want to know the Japanese word for sparrow?
Yes.
Susame.
Susame.
Yeah.
Huh.
So some more fucking factoids from Wad, huh? Then we heard a Tragic Comedy with Movie Mongrel, Bronze Age UFO out of Balmore with AAML, an acronym I have no idea means. Mountain, one of these days, the Santa Claus mix, or Sainty Claus, I guess. It's too early anyway. I fucking should have played this in 2 weeks, right, people? Fucked up again. By Mountain Offensive, that's... Go ahead.
It started. The Christmas barrage has started. So
okay,
you're not,
so
you're
it's
not
okay
early.
To play that fucking... It's a version of the Pink Floyd One of These Days. You know what's really interesting about the original is there's two bass guitars. David Gilmour playing very correct. Roger Waters all over the fucking place. But both of them together, it's the neatest kind of effect. And to play, it's one interval. Staccato. But that's Brother Phil up in the Mammoth doing his thing. And finally, Trust from Life in a Blender. Is that a hopeful song?
That song was, it was more of a story song. Somebody's got like I just had a vision of somebody with this secret sort of illicit package taking it upstate, and they had to trust the person with it. So that's all that was about. Who's the one to trust with the stuff you own and have and want to make sure it gets to the right place?
Sounding like French Connection.
Back to Pick Your Feet in Poughkeepsie.
We lost Roy Schneider a few months ago,
that
right?
Again, that chase scene under the subway bridge, that's one of the best.
Popeye Doyle,
I know, great.
Gene Hackman, right? Gene Hackman.
Yeah, Gene Hackman.
Right, and like I said, we lost Roy Schneider, I think, a couple months ago. I want to play Vacancy for a Bluebird. Tori is the word for bird.
About it whenever I have words to send. Producer wants me to
Watt for Pedro show, last music for this edition. Life in a Blender with Vacancy for a Bluebird. Look, people, we're on a bird riff here, so we're going to let Don fucking enlighten you to this.
we just have tons of songs about birds. And that one came from a Kurt Vonnegut story because he was noticing that there weren't many bluebirds around. He thought maybe the climate was going, you know, affecting it and just getting rid of the bluebirds where he was in this Man Without a Country story. So that was a song based on his book from Kurt Vonnegut.
Miniature 8 by Mike Cooper. Then we have Brigands, part 3 from Wayne Pete Ensemble. And What Happened to Smith? I guess it's supposed to have a question mark.
But it should have a question mark.
Yeah.
What happened?
It's an interrogative. It's not a declarative, right? So Life in a Blender. And look, the last bunch of songs, you had a literary reference. And you had a reference to Mr. Vonnegut. Does literature influence your writing, Don?
Well, lately, because of that one project, it just really has taken over a lot of the songs. So 5 of the songs on this record are from works of literature, and it comes from that Bushwick Book Club. It was really great because it makes you think in a whole different way that I wouldn't necessarily think. You know, I always say I always gravitate to writing songs about dogs and beer and death, and then so the Bushwick Book Club evolved my brain from simple chimp-like brain to, you know, more sophisticated. Planet of the Apes brain.
Well, but which one? Roddy McDowell, chimpanzee, or like, I guess there was orangutans and gorillas. Gorillas were more soldier. Orangutan was more politician. Chimpanzee was more scientist. But no, I ask you this, Don, because I use a lot of literature for my inspiration for songs, because they're a little. You got to kind of translate, right? You got to make an interpretation. Whereas there's another layer of your own creativity involved than hearing somebody's lick and then stealing it for your song.
Right, right. It definitely puts your brain off the normal track it would be on. So, I mean, I've liked that. And it's been this project that's done that.
So tell me, do you keep a little notebook of song ideas, or it's just the one page? Like, it's time to write a song, I'm going to write on this page.
Yeah, no, I keep a notebook of all little scraps, little lyric ideas, and then I'm always recording little fragments in the computer of different pieces. I mean, sometimes a song will just come out, there it is. Okay. But often, you know, I'll have this piece and that piece and go back and listen, and then get lyrics. And I have this red book that I just keep jotting down lyric ideas in.
And then you run it past Dave. Now, is Dave like an editor?
Dave's a good, you know, I can run it by him and see if he doesn't like it. Odds are no one's going to like it.
Also, so he's kind of the
I run it by him. The drummer. I got to get the drummer's name in there, too. Ken Meyer.
So he's Dave's kind of the litmus test.
He can be the litmus test often.
Yeah,
if he glazes over when I play it, I know it's, you know, it's not going
to
go anywhere.
Yeah, let this one go. Or run away to fight another day.
Yeah.
So the stuff you wrote for this new record, was it all used, or is there shit in the can?
There's nothing in the can. Yeah, everything, you know, we probably would have gone more if the whole COVID thing didn't hit us. We probably would have waited and done a longer record. This is an EP, 6 songs. But yeah, we didn't get to record anymore yet. I have songs ready to go, but now we've got to wait till we can really get back together.
So 6 songs. How long is it?
It's about 30 minutes.
Yeah, but Funhouse was 32 minutes. You got an album.
I call it an EP. Maybe it's an LP at 32. At 30, what's the cutoff line? I don't know.
Well, to me, EP means extended play, so it's actually a big single. But look, I'm not in charge of this shit, so...
Yeah.
Fuck
it's
why.
It's a record.
It's just an opinion. Look, it sounds whole, and to me, that's what's important, you know? It sounds like a whole work. So, you know, in another way, it's a diary entry, right, of these times, of this moment, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. And I think we wouldn't have... We made it... different. I think because we were in the lockdown mode, we thought about it a lot, and then it's a different shape than a usual CD. You know, it's taller and won't fit into your CD collection easily at all. And then, you know, it'll stick right out. You can find it easily. And it's filled with original art. We got 6 friends to make pieces of art for each song, inspired by each song. And then we had some friends who like to make cocktails, and bartenders that we knew who made drinks made out of each, based on each song. So, I mean, that was all fun for us to do, and I think, you know, makes this Satsuma record maybe more interesting for our fans and other people, too.
Yeah. Now, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, lifeinablender.net.
Okay.
Lifeinablender.net. It's
all
there.
Got that, people. L-I-F-E. INABLENDER.NET. Go there, and they got links probably to all the other stuff. Like, hopefully, this spiel we're doing right here. And so, of course, the plan now is, things get calmer and vaccined up, and we can. In the meantime, are you getting more tunes out of the little red book?
Yeah, and for some reason been gravitating toward the piano and churning out, a lot of tunes. I'm sending the fragments over to the band, but, yeah, we really need to get together. We've got to figure out a way we can all get locked down together and bring all the new stuff to them.
Well, there's the trade and file thing. Yeah, what we got to get on the internet is some way to play together without latency, but that's down the road. I'm curious, though, your future. You're writing on the piano. With your left hand, do you do bass lines?
A tiny little bit, but not much. Yeah, I'm more, banging it out. Like I do on guitar, the bass player's going to bring it. I wish I had the bass sensibility.
I'm a little prejudiced.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm a little prejudiced that way. That's why I asked about that. But because, you're almost a one-man band in the piano, right? You got your treble hand and your bass hand. And
yeah.
At one point, especially with the big bands and swing stuff, everybody who wasn't a horn was in the rhythm section. Piano, drums, bass, guitar, the whole dealio, It was with amplifiers and stuff we could, change and stuff. So we used to be all cousins, and then division of labor. Those things happen. It's okay.
Yeah, I wish my left hand could get that bass action going. I'm really just plucking out the one or two notes on the bass line with the left, and it's really the melody for me on the right going.
Because, rock and roll comes from piano, right? That boogie-woogie with the left hand was really important in the old days.
Yeah, and, God, I appreciate that. Somebody who can play the piano like that is so great.
I think people get this idea that rock and roll has always been guitar. That's not true. It was piano. Look at Little Richard. Look at Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry helped with the guitar, but then all his songs came from his guitar. Piano man. Come on, Watt, talk, Rick.
And that kind of art, that kind of piano rock and roll, I don't know if you see it as much, really.
I know, but it is.
I love it.
It's the foundation, right? Things, sometimes they go down the road and you can't even recognize where they come from, and that's what happens, right? But it's okay, because it's a dynamic, living, growing thing, and fucking Life in a Blender is part of that. And Don, it's been a real honor to have you on the show. I can't wait to hear your next music.
Can't wait to get back on it. I know, we got to expand out of the six that we just did on this last one.
That's right. Okay, big love. People, it's been December 7, 2020, Dish Wild Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.